We get started with item number one. We're going to go right down the line here. Investment report. Mr. Moran, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Beautiful day in New Haven. Nice out. I don't know if it's Lynn or Taylor, but let's pull up the report first. Should say July on it. Here we go. Page forward, please, a couple of pages. Maybe a little bit bigger, and we should be good, if you can. There we go. Okay, so good morning. We're gonna talk about the month of July today. This report's fairly benign. It's in line with what we talked about the month before. As you can see, it's been a challenging year. Year to date, we're down about 11.65%. 1 year number is also a challenging environment like we talked about. Look over our average over the last 3 years is 8.39. So doing well versus our discount rate. So that's good. So we had a great year prior fiscal year, double digits, mid 20s. And then last year we were down, we'll see the final numbers, but anywhere from, 9 to 12% when it comes all in with the alternatives. But we're going to guess around maybe 11 or 12. 336 was the total balances of July. We go down to the equity managers. Again, a couple challenges, but it's been a crazy market, a lot of volatility. So we're going to keep an eye on a bunch of managers and just see how close they are to their bogeys and their indices and continue to talk to them. So Sizer, $34 million manager, 6 months down about 10%. You can see their 1 year number pretty much in line with what we hired them to do versus the Russell 1000. Atlanta Sosnoff. Same thing, challenging environment, down a little bit more than the indices in 1 year. They're a newer manager in that asset class, so we'll continue to look at them. Aristotle's done a good job across the board. They've had a challenging year, but if you look at their inception number, fantastic versus their index. But mid-cap, Cook & Bieler's been challenged in both asset classes, mid-cap and small-cap. So you look across the board, they're $25 million, down 8% versus their indice of 2.85 for 1 year. So we're having conversations with them about that portfolio. We'll get down to the small-cap in a minute, and we're talking to them also. So not on watch yet, but we're going to bring them in outside of the board instead of having them present and do an update with you folks. I know you had a lot of meetings lately with people coming in and updating because of the environment. It's a challenging environment, so we like to hear from people. So I think as a team, we'll talk to them offline and bring back to the board our opinions on them. If we have to put them on watch, we'll do that. We'll also look for the mid-cap portfolio as a source of funds if needed because it's a large portion of the asset allocation in mid-cap, $25 million. Mutual America, same thing, pretty much in line. Clearbridge, small cap's been tough, especially growth, and double-digit losses for the year. But if you look over for their inception number, they've done great. It's just their indices. Cook & Bieler, again, very challenged on the bottom there. So we'll talk to them. Well, the numbers are okay, but significant underperformance in the year-to-date and one-year number. So we'll see what happens when they come back to us. Next page. I know it's a brief meeting today, so I will get through this, and I'll do a little bit of market commentary. It's August, so I'll open up the questions after that. Let you go on with your day. Channing's bounced. Pretty well. They were a manager that was challenged, but you can see their 1 year numbers above their indice, 8 versus 14. Long term, they're doing better. WCM came in for an update. They did have a good month in July, obviously 10% versus 7, which is good. They gave us an update. We're going to keep an eye on them and see if they rebound the way they have historically. MFS, a newer manager in that asset class, pretty close to being in line with their benchmark. We are adding a new manager there that we interviewed a long time ago. They'll be getting 50 million, so that will bring us up to our asset allocation in international equity, which we're down a little bit on. And we'll talk about that on page 13, I think, in a minute. The bond managers, so as a total, if you look at this, down about 9.63% on 1 year. Again, strange environment, haven't seen it in 30 years. You go through each manager and we see a little bit of difference in each manager, but pretty close to the fact that it's been a really challenging environment for fixed income and bonds. Cincinnati's got a little bit less performance, but Cincinnati is a manager that does mostly high yield corporate. So that's got a higher correlation. Junk bonds have a higher correlation to equities versus, U.S. Treasury. So you're going to see that number be a little bit worse based on the fact that the equity markets have been rough. put on our cash positions. You can see that we're okay right now. We'll take a look at Northern Trust and what we need to do. We need to fund two managers. We'll take it out of that. And again, if we need a source of funds, we'll take it from the entire asset allocation class and keep everybody in line, but raise money until we get the money from the city, hopefully going into the third and fourth quarter. You can go one more page on this portion of it. Alkyon. So Alkyon, I know I sent the note out. I don't blame everybody for not jumping on the SURF meeting. There's enough meetings for all of you. Alkyon came in and talked to us. They're a manager in both portfolios, SURF and police and fire. You know, we listened, asked a bunch of questions. Nothing jumped out at us being like, hey, this is, you know, the turning point for them. But historically, again, they've been a fantastic manager, and they're just in a really rough patch. So we talked to them. We're going to continue to keep an eye on them. If they continue to perform, we'll put them on watch, which will give them two quarters of another watch. And after that, we'll look to see if we need to replace them. So let's keep an eye there and pray for the best. The rest of it's alternatives, which we don't need to get on to right now. Do you want to go to page, I believe it's page 11 or 13, Taylor or Leanna? 13. Actually, it doesn't matter. We can do that. That works it too. So if you look at the asset allocation, we're in line with our U.S. equity allocation, which is good. All the way to the right, it says within range. Non-U.S. is light, but we're adding to that. That'll get us up within that range of 10 to 20. We're in line with fixed income on the bottom of the range on purpose because it's a tough environment. Alternatives were fine, and real estate were actually a little bit low. Actually, we're a little bit high on real estate. We're 8.10 versus our in line is 0 to 6%. But that's, you know, they've done very, very well. So that might change when the equity managers come up in value. That'll change that percentage. But real estate's done well. We're not going to touch that for now. With that said, you can go to the other, the market talk page. Now, I'm not going to go through this. I'm going to go through five quick points, talk about our opinion on what's going on here. You can take a look at that. You can see, obviously, it's pretty straightforward, and you can read it at your leisure. But you can see the returns over the last year in equities have been tough. Obviously, energy has been a place to be, and all the way down to consumer discretionary has been a challenge, and will probably continue to be with the consumer fighting inflation. So with that said, let's go over five quick things that really, you know, what we watch on a daily basis. Obviously, the first one is inflation. It's a word we talked about often. So we actually anticipate that inflation will peak in the third quarter of this year, which, by the way, it's the third quarter right now. So we're looking at that, and we're thinking that there's going to be a decline into 2023. So hopefully peaking right now. We've seen a little bit of housing softening, which is good. The housing market's really come off its high, which is good. Lowers inflation, what we're looking for. Commodities is a challenge. You know, it's more of a supply issue with natural gas and oil and all that. So that's tough, and it's keeping prices high. The other anomaly is that the U.S. dollar has an inverse relationship with commodity prices, and the dollar is really, really strong right now. So, you know, that's an anomaly. So we're going to keep an eye on that, too, and see if that softens. But the supply issue is a tough thing. On inflation, the Federal Reserve wants inflation between 2 and 3%. That's their target. We're still between 8 and 9%. So that's where you're going to see when I get down to it, where rates are going to be an issue with them rising them to kind of control that and lower it. Second point, growth. We don't believe the U.S. will enter a full-blown recession right now. We think there's a higher probability than there used to be, but we do not believe there'll be a full-blown recession going into 2023. Monetary policy. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve. They're all out in Wyoming right now at a conference, and you're going to see some headlines tomorrow when they start talking at 10 a.m. And it's all about, what are they going to do? Are they going to go 50 basis points? Are they going to go 75 basis points? This all goes back to what I talked about last meeting. It's like Goldilocks. They don't want an economy that's too hot, and they don't want to slow it to a point where it's stopping. So they're trying to figure out a way to raise rates to slow down the economy. So we're going to see anywhere from a 50 to 75 basis point move. We just got a 75. We might get another one. But to put it in perspective, I know we'll know this as Connecticut residents, but we went to lockdown, I think it was like the day before St. Patrick's Day in 2020. I remember that. It was the 16th. And on the 16th, they lowered rates 1%. To help us with all that going on. So been a big swing here. Hopefully they do it in a right way, and we don't get a complete slowdown in the economy, and they can handle that. Monetary policy, back to the Fed, they're hawkish. We'll see what they do on that. That's what I just talked about. Fiscal policy, global fiscal stimulus will be reduced sharply. That's all the money from COVID. So we're not going to see this influx of huge amounts of cash into the economy, which was good, but it caused this inflationary environment. So hopefully without all that stimulus, and this is globally, with all that stimulus coming into the world, into the markets, you're not going to see prices go as crazy as they did. It's going to be less money out there, which is what they're trying to do. So lastly, we just had in June a 20% pullback in the markets, which is a significant pullback. You can go back and look at the reports. Fortunately, it coincided with the end of our fiscal year. And since then, we've had a pretty good run. We've had what's called a 50% retracement since then. So good news is that the market has bounced back pretty significantly since then. You'll see that in the next report. So in the last nine times that's happened, we have not gone back to the lows. So the lows of June hopefully are in, and we don't revisit those. That's a big thing we talk about on Wall Street. Are they in? Are we going to go back and retest? And we think that they're in according to historical data. So what does that say? What is our plan? We stay allocated and we buy on dips if possible. So that's what we've been doing. We've been hiring managers. We're staying allocated. Hopefully we get new money coming in and funding managers. And then again, tweak the allocation to be strategic when it comes to how we can make money in the environment. But for now, it's, you know, as is. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions for anyone and go from there.
Are there any questions for Mr. Moran? Dave, I'm just going to ask you, has the city reached out to you with the contribution amounts or timeline?
I have not heard. I know Mike was out for a vacation. I don't know if Mike's listening. I know he's on there. So I know he just got back, but I have not heard anything besides the numbers that we got from the last meeting. But anticipating that hopefully in the near term.
Mike, are you able to enlighten us as far as the city and the contribution?
Yeah, I think at the last meeting, I mentioned we were looking at the same time frame as the previous year, which began in October. The contribution last year was made over October, November, and December. So we're looking at that same timeline.
Any update on the amounts?
I am still working on the amounts. Obviously, it depends on the amount of money the city intakes and the expenses that go out during that time period. So I will keep everyone updated on the amounts.
Can you update as far as what the actuary suggested?
Let me take a look. I cannot update on the actual amounts. I know just by December, we're planning on having the full contribution as far as what was budgeted, which was higher. So the amount budgeted for fiscal year 23 was $53.9 million. So that's the budget number. So again, we plan on making the full contribution through December. So October, November, and December. I know last year it was about 30-40% of the funding was contributed in the month of October.
Yeah, I mean, historically, we've always kept to the last, to the end of the month in October. Historically, what we did last year, maybe we did split it up over 3 months, but historically, we've had it deposited with by the end of October. Leanna, are you able to give us the number as far as the actuary has suggested?
Hi, this is Leanna. I don't have that number readily available because I wasn't prepared for this meeting. I think it was in the minutes from last.
Well, we had discussed it last meeting that we were going to continue to try to get the numbers from the city. And maybe we'll have them next meeting.
I don't think it was said to be continued. I thought he had mentioned how much it was going to be. I'm trying to pull those up.
Yeah, I don't think we had those numbers, and that's what we're looking for, a follow-up. That's fine. If you could follow up with us by next month's meeting, please.
I mean, what number are you looking to be followed up? Because I'm not the one to determine the amount of that number.
No, you're not determining, but what the actuary has suggested.
Are you talking about Mr. Cannon on a budgetary aspect or what they had recommended?
What they had recommended, Mr. Gormley.
So in the notes last month, it says it's about $700,000 above what the actuarial projection was. And that was 53.9, which means I would assume the actuarial projection was about 53.2.
Yeah, okay. I'll get the exact numbers
for just you. Just looking for the confirmation. I'm sure you can make contact with the actuary, Leanne. Thank you. All right, next, moving along. Item number two, can I get an approval of minutes for the July 28th meeting?
So moved. Sevalis, Trustee Rivera.
Trustee Rivera has made the motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
Seconded by Trustee McDermott. Up for discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? The item passes. Motion passes. Item number three, administrative matters. 3A, the Brenner Salzman Wallman yearly review of fees.
This is Leanna. This was continued from last month's meeting where we shared the differences between this year and last year's, and a vote needs to be made if you all want to stay with the flat rate fee or go, you know, month by month.
Can I make a motion to go into executive session to discuss this matter?
We can't go into executive session to discuss this. It's not one of the permitted reasons under the Freedom of Information Act. I'm sorry, but we can't.
Point of clarification. Was this item, I see continue, but was it tabled? Do we need to remove it from the table? Or is it just a continuance?
It's just continued.
Okay, thank you.
I did do some research at the request of Trustee Rivera, and I think you have that. I just wanted everybody to have it. So the prior year was $82,662.60, the first year of our contract. And that was billed actual time as opposed to a flat fee. And so Trustee Rivera asked that I go back and look to see if there was any particular research projects that made that much higher than this year's billings, which were $55,300. As you know, 6,000 flat fee is 72,000. So I did create a report for that. So when I did, the assumptions were that what wasn't going to change from year to year was the daily work we do. So that would be quadros, answering questions from the pension administrator, and reviewing investments. And then the question is, what kinds of particular research projects that we do that are not within those three categories. So I could not separate in our bills the amount of money spent on research projects, because the way we bill, we aggregate in an entry. You know, if we worked on a quadro and worked on a research project, it's only going to show the sum of both of those on a particular day. So I created a chart showing the number of entries for particular research projects. So you have that chart. And then I thought it might be helpful to go back for the prior 3 years. So you would have a 5-year window. And the prior 3 years, we were not under contract and our rate was 280 rather than 300. So then I brought those forward in terms of what it would have been had we built 300. And so you'll see for fiscal year 2018 to 2019, it was 63,000. It would have been 63,424. and change if we had billed at the 300 rate, just so that you get a sense of if it's going to be 72 or 63, you know, whether what's the most advantageous to you. So you would see for that year an actual billing would be most advantageous. And then for the following fiscal year, 2017-2018, the total billings would have been 72,000. So that would have been the same as the flat rate. And then for the year 2019-2020, the billings would have been 57,000. So you can see how actual billings would have been more advantageous to the fund rather than flat fee. So if you look at the 5-year overall, the actual billings are more advantageous to the fund than the flat fee. And that's the report I created.
Trustee Ribeiro. Is this the Excel spreadsheet that we received that has the 5 tabs? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. The thing, it's entitled fiscal year period, and then it has the period and it's called number of time.
Okay. So the outlier in the previous year was for the quadro?
No, it's not those quadros. It's these research projects. So I assume that every single year we're going to have quadros, we're going to have questions from Leanna and her staff, and we're going to have investments. So these are projects that are beyond what those three usual tasks are. And it looks like over a 5-year period, actual billings are more advantageous to the fund than a flat fee. It's the opposite for SURF, because SURF has many, many more issues.
So I'm sorry, may I ask another question, Mr. Chair?
Of course.
So just for example, I'm just looking, if I look at the first tab, 2017-2018,
right.
So the last column which talks about the total number of entries, does that mean that there were 18 times that your firm did something regarding bylaws, 35, a code of conduct, so on and so forth? Is that how that works?
That's what is close as I could get to trying to figure this all out, yes.
Okay. So if we were to, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
On the floor.
Okay, thank you. So if we were to go back to, not to use a flat fee, the attorney rate is 280 an hour still, and the paralegal is still 100?
No, it's 300. So 300 under the contract, it was raised up to 300. So that would be starting a fiscal year 2020 to 2021. That's when it was raised from 280 to 300.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? Mr. McDermott,
I'm off mute now. No, I just one of the things that I was taking a look at is you know, there was a stark difference if you look at the old meeting agendas and the old meeting minutes between the issues, the number of issues that were raised when we were getting billed hourly by the firm versus when we switched to the flat rate. And I mean, the decrease is striking. So it's one of those things that I do have a concern of, you know, going back to an hourly rate, you know, based on past performance, I would expect a significant uptick, you know, in the activity from the firm versus when we just had the flat fee. So I am concerned about that.
Yeah, I can understand that. And believe me, there just were many, many fewer issues this year than the prior year. But as you see, the prior 3 years, when you were being billed, not a flat fee, right? You were being billed actual. There were also a number, you know, it varied between 52,000 and 70 some odd thousand. So it really varies on what comes up. And I'm Trustee McDermott, we try to be absolutely as fair and honest as we can. We value this relationship hugely. We've been your lawyers for almost 40 years, and it's a very important relationship to us. And we try to be as fair and honest. And I go through those bills very, very carefully every month. It's just that year to year, things change. And that's why I did 5 years, so that you could see all, you know, the types of items that we've been working on over a fair period. But I'm willing, whatever you think is the fairest, I would do.
Trustee Ribeiro.
Go ahead, Trustee Ribeiro.
For your experience, you know, working on this, working for this fund for a number of years, do you anticipate any special projects, or is there anything that you may be aware of that may come up that may require some additional work from you and your firm?
I do. And we could figure out how to deal with it. We think it's very important to rewrite the IRS approved plan. We've talked about this in the past. And if it was in a flat fee, that would have been included. So that's a very good question. And we do see that coming up. I guess we could give you an anticipated amount before we undertake that, if you do decide to go to the hourly fee, or if maybe you decide you don't want us to do that, we don't have to do that.
And that's the only thing that you foresee at this point?
That's as far as I know. You know, things come up. I mean, it's, yes, but that's what I foresee.
Mr. McDermott, go ahead.
I've said my piece with it. I mean, I heard Attorney Cohen's, side of things. You and I both, Pat, have, openly questioned, some of the billing processes in the past. I still think that the record track record speaks for itself. I'm not one, maybe it's my line of work, but I'm not one to believe in coincidences. I think if anybody has an issue or a concern with which way to go on this, I recommend all the trustees take a look at the past history of the agendas and the minutes, and take a look for themselves to compare. And I think, like I said, I think the numbers speak for themselves.
Okay, Mr. McDermott. Mr. McDermott has made a suggestion for all the trustees to take a look at the past fees. Any other questions, concerns?
I can give you all our billings for the last 5 years. Because I think that is the place to look.
Well, I mean, it, when I first came onto this board, and issues generated from the law firm dominated the agenda for at least 2 years. I mean, this is prior to Mayor Alaker coming in, and this is when I first came in under Mayor Harp, and I believe around 2016. And that was probably, three quarters of what we discussed and what was brought up into the meetings. And, I realized that there may be a legitimate drop off in some of the activity and some of the concerns that came in. But it seems to me like once we shifted to a flat rate, the amount of items on the agenda, coming from the law firm pretty much fell off a cliff. So that's just something that concerns me, that if we go back to the hourly rate, I would expect a significant, uptick in agenda items from the law firm.
So I think, just to respond to that, when Mayor Elkert came in, Mayor Harp, when you first started, there was a real concern by the controller at that time that we did not have a code of conduct and we didn't have bylaws. And we did spend an enormous amount of time rectifying that problem. But really, Trustee McDermott, this year is an outlier from the last 5 years. I mean, it's way lower than the last 5 years in terms of things that we've been asked to do. I don't know how to respond to this. I mean, this year is an outlier. And I'm happy to do whatever kind of billing you would like.
Well, I'm standing on maintaining a flat fee. If, you know, if any of the other trustees, want to weigh in with their opinion, that's my stance, and that's my reasoning for it. You know, clearly Trustee Ribeiro has spent some time on this as well. I'm curious to hear. I've heard your questions, Trustee Ribeiro. I'm curious to hear your opinion on which way we should go, and if any of the other trustees have an opinion there. I'm certainly willing to listen to those as well.
Trustee Ribeiro. So just a question. So if we were to decide that we want to continue the flat fee and then say midway, we determine that it's not advantageous to this fund, is there anything in the contract or anything to say that we could switch over at that point, or are we in it for the remainder of the contract year?
So the contract does not say that we can, but I am more than happy to revisit this, and we can just put it on the agenda for the midway point, which would be December, yeah. Revisit the issue if that's, what people want to do.
Yeah, I will be comfortable seeing that we do have a lot of new trustees that may not be familiar with the history or may not have had ample time to review all of the bills. So I will be comfortable at this point going with the flat fee and if at the midpoint to just review this again, if there's the option to do something different if we so choose. And those are my thoughts, Trustee McDermott and Trustee Cannon.
Thank you, Trustee Ribeiro. I believe Trustee Brooks had his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to Mr. McDermott's point, your analysis stops at year 17 and 18. So maybe it would be probably helpful to have the few years that he's talking about.
Sure. First. That's a good idea. So tell me what years you want, and I'll prepare it for next month. Would you want to do 15, 16? Do you want 3 years prior to where I started? When did you start, Trustee McDermott?
I might not have this accurately. I want to say maybe 2015. I think I initially misspoke and said 16, but I believe it was 2015.
So we could do 15, 16, 16, 17, 17, 18. And we'll create charts just like this.
So
yeah, if we could also factor in the difference, because I know, and I don't fault the firm on this, but I know the hourly rate has increased, which is, which is natural over time. But if we could also have like the raw billing hours, because some of those statements could be misleading if it seems like, well, oh, it was lower, but the billing rate was lower at the time as well. So if we could factor in just the hours billed, or even just include what the rate was at that time, that would be just okay. So we can compare apples to apples.
Okay. And I do the hours. I don't do the hours. I do what it would be at 280. So, but we'll do hours billed. I think that's really helpful. Total hours billed.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Trustee Brooks, go ahead.
I think to answer Trustee McDermott and Trustee Ribeiro's point, I probably would be more comfortable with going with the flat rate at this point with a revision in December. But the question would be for me is, what is the proposed flat rate for this new fiscal year?
So it's the same as it's been, it's that's been in the contract. So it's 6,000 a month. So that's what the contract is, either that the trustees either do 300 an hour or 6,000 a month for the 3-year period of the contract. So this year it's been 6,000 a month.
Mr. Chair.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Chair. If I may.
Yes, you may.
Okay. So what's kind of been helpful for me, and I haven't been able to go back too far only because I just haven't had the opportunity to look at past bill, but I actually started a spreadsheet where I did a comparison for what it would have been, what we would have paid at a flat rate versus what we would have paid hourly on a monthly basis, that it was a little bit easier for me to see, like, if there were any outliers or, you know, if the payments were relatively close. So I don't know if that would, you know, if there's still some unreadiness with the trustees, if that would be helpful to kind of see on a month-to-month basis what it looks like. And, you know, I'd be happy to share what I started so far, which actually just goes back to June 20, maybe June 19, but that's how I've been able to kind of see how things may have changed.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, that would be helpful for me if Trustee Ribeiro would be able to share that. I would love to take a look at it.
Are there any other?
Do you want us to try to do that for some period?
I'm happy to share, but I think it would be better coming from you, because even like last year, there were some disbursements that we were charged for, which I don't remember what the disbursements were for exactly, but that kind of added on to, you know, what we're paying. And just even like looking at my chart, for example, one of the outlier months was January 21, where we would bill $14,000. But in December 20, we were billed $2,000. So that's what raised my questions in terms of what type of projects and other, you know, research items that your firm was doing during that time period.
So do you want us to take the 2 years that we've been in the contract and create a spreadsheet that shows the monthly billings?
Well, for me, I guess you can, but
you want to send me what you've done and all?
Yeah, I can do that, and then maybe going back two or 3 years per Trustee McDermott's suggestion. I mean, you know, this is only if there's still unreadiness with the trustees. That would be my suggestion. If there isn't any unreadiness, then I'm good.
No, but so for, if we go back to, what we're talking about, 2015, 2016, we can show you the monthly billing, mm-hmm. because we didn't have a flat fee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same for the first year of the contract. We've just had monthly billing, so we can create spreadsheets for every year showing the monthly billings, and then for this year we can create a spreadsheet that shows the flat fee versus the monthly billings, because this year is the only year we've had the flat fee. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
And then we can put the number of hours, you can create a column with the number of hours, because that seems to be something Trustee McDermott wanted.
I'm fine with that.
We can bring everything forward at a $300 rate, so you can see both what the monthly billings were and what they would be at a $300 rate.
Okay, this is Chairman Cannon. Just for the knowledge of this board, I'm having some experience, difficulty with some people going in and out. let's get a better understanding of where this board wants to go with this matter. Is there a motion to move this to the next meeting? Is there a motion on the floor right now for anything? Where do we stand as far as how this board wants to proceed on this matter today? Are there any suggestions?
Okay. Trustee McDermott.
No, go ahead, ma'am.
No, I mean, for me, I'm comfortable with moving forward a flat fee, but it's the comfort level of the board. So if majority of the board is still not comfortable in taking a vote, then I would probably move to continue. But if the board is comfortable, I'd make a motion to move with the flat fee.
Trustee McDermott.
I agree with that. I mean, I know some of the trustees haven't had as much time to take a look. If everybody feels ready, I'm prepared to make a motion. But if anybody feels like they need more time to take a look at it, I would want to respect that. So I'll just put it out to the other trustees who haven't been speaking as much as I have today. If anybody feels like they need more time, please say so now. Otherwise, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Trustee Brooks.
I'm comfortable with, I am fairly new to this board, and so I do not have context and history as Trustee McDermott and Trustee Rivero and yourself may have. But I'm certainly comfortable with the information that's been presented. It certainly would be helpful for my historical context to have the information that we've asked for so that we can be prepared and I can familiarize myself with the history of how this board has conducted its business. But I am prepared to follow the leadership of our more senior members.
Trustee Cannon, this is Vinnie Morrow.
Trustee Morrow, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've been listening to this now at nauseam for a while, for the last three meetings. This is pretty cut and dry. I mean, the flat fee seems to make the most sense. So I am perfectly fine with going with the flat fee that has been established here.
Trustee Vereen, any concerns?
I would like to go back to what Trustee Rivera said earlier, if we can approve the flat fee now and then revisit in 6 months or in December.
Thank you. Okay. Can I
Trustee Rivera? Yes. With all that being said, I will make a motion to approve the flat fee rate and be able to revisit the fees, the expenses in December, as well as receive more information regarding the monthly bills for the past 5 years.
So moved. The motion has been made. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second.
Trustee McDermott has made the second. Open to discussion.
Mr. Chair, the 5 years, I wanted to get the information that Trustee McDermott referenced, and that will be more than 5 years. So if Trustee Rivero and Trustee McDermott wouldn't mind us to add those additional 2 years in 2015, that'd be great.
Yes, as the maker of the motion, I accept the amendment.
And I continue my second of that.
Trustee Cannon's frozen. Oh.
I apologize. I had a little difficulty. It was cut out there for a section of that commentary.
Can you just, I didn't hear what Trustee Brooks, just so I get you the information you want.
The amendment basically is to add additional 2 years. So instead of 5 years worth of information, 7 years.
7 years?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, amendment's been made on that motion. Seconded by Trustee McDermott again?
Yes.
Any further discussion? The chair will call a roll call vote. Trustee Ribeiro.
Yes.
Trustee McDermott.
Yes.
Trustee Vereen.
Yes.
Trustee Brooks.
Yes.
Trustee Morrow.
Yes.
Trustee Kennedy is an aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, moving on. I'm going to jump around at this time, and let's go to item number four, age annuity retirement information only. With that, I want to bring up that two members are listed. I think this is just an administrative typo, but item number, member number A has listed that he was hired in 1966. I believe that's not correct. He would have been born in 1966. So if we could adjust that. Taylor? I'm sorry, Leanna?
Yes, we'll adjust it.
Thank you. You see what I'm speaking of?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, we have item number five, contribution withdrawals, information only. Item number six, death after retirement, information only. If I can get a moment of silence for Peter DeGioia. Thank you.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Just for information, it doesn't say, was he with fire or police?
The deceased? Death yes. After retirement? I apologize. I do not have that information.
Okay. No worries.
Leanna may have that. Taylor may have that.
Yeah, it never does, though, when we list the death of a retiree. It never states if they're police or fire.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number seven, payment of bills.
Motion to approve payment of bills.
I have a motion from Trustee McDermott. Can I get
second.
A second? Second by Trustee Ribeiro. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Those that abstain, the ayes have it. Thank you. Item number eight, old business. Any issues with old business? I have some concerns as far as these meetings go. I believe that we are out of COVID protocols where we can now get back together. I'd like that to be considered by this board. I understand it's very comfortable with us schedule-wise to be on Zoom, but that does not mean that we have to be 100% participation in the room, but I would like to get back to us meeting the old-fashioned way, and anybody that can't make it would have the ability to teleconference in. So I'd like everyone to think about that moving forward. We could, Leanna, could you address that in the next meeting, possibly, for the agenda?
Yes, we will put it on the draft agenda for next meeting.
Thank you. All right, item number nine, new business. Any new business? All right. We will come back to item number 3B, discussion regarding amending policy to create a time limit for a member who sustains an injury after application for an age retirement, but before the retirement begins to apply for disability benefits. This was continued from the past. So I'll open it up to discussion.
So if I can update everybody,
this issue, in 1999, this board passed a policy saying that at the time that you apply for age retirement, if you're intending to apply for a disability retirement, you need to do both applications at the same time. And then it created an exception to that rule that said that if between the date that you apply and the date of your retirement for age, you get hurt, that you can, your age application will be considered automatically a disability application. And we had someone come in this past year who claimed that he was hurt in 2014 between the time of his disability application, his age application, and his retirement date. And we, under this policy, we treated his disability application as timely. But that's a long time. So we discussed this quickly with this board in the past. And where we left it was that I was going to find out if the city's labor relations director thought this was an issue that had to be bargained with the police and fire unions. I have had that contact, and they do believe it is an issue that is subject to collective bargaining. And they are intending to bring this up at in connection with the contracts that are being negotiated. My question to the board is, what time period should this board be requesting be the limit? And there had been some discussion about a year, and I would like some guidance on that.
Trustee McDermott. I believe you had your hand up, Trustee McDermott.
You muted me there for a second.
That would not be me. I don't have those capabilities.
The host did, whoever's hosting it. The only issue I want to raise here is I'd like to table this issue because it was shown in the bills that there was a sample of what this would look like created and sent to the unions. But I've been informed by my union that we haven't received that yet. So we're not prepared to vote or act on this until my executive board has an opportunity to review this sample.
I, as president of the fire union, will agree with you. I have not been made contact by the labor director. And my concern is that the police union may be in negotiations, yet the fire department is not. So there should not be any delay in contacting us, nor should there be any delay in contacting the police union, President Cotto.
Trustee Cannon, I'll also add that if it's up for collective bargaining, if it's being negotiated collective bargaining, then this board shouldn't have a say on how what long a period of time it should be. It should all be then subject to collective bargaining.
Correct. Thank you. You're in agreement with you.
The labor relations director was looking for guidance as to what the city's position should be in terms of time. So I did draft something and sent it, and I will send that. We'll put that on the agenda for next month. But that's interesting what you're saying, Trustee Cannon, because the labor relations director said that they would not be negotiating this outside of the contract negotiations, and you're saying you're not in contract negotiations. So that's problemsome.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems in the communication between us and the city right now. Part of it's just that we're in this Zoom world right now, and we cannot get a clear understanding face-to-face of what the context of all the terms are. So Trustee Morrow is correct. This is something that we probably should not be visiting right here. This board should not be involved in at this moment.
I respectfully disagree. I think that we need to give the labor relations director, because the city doesn't care about this issue. This is our issue, that we need to give the city's labor relations director guidance as to what the city's position should be on this issue. And if
that's collectively bargained, wouldn't that be between the city, the labor director?
Right. On pension issues, we need to give input, and we do give input, because they're not knowledgeable about this kind of administrative problem, right? Only we are knowledgeable. So
What I would like to do is maybe continue this. We'll put on the language that I've suggested for, and then we can discuss it. And then
one second. No, you're here for advice when we ask you for advice. As far as what you're moving forward to the next meetings, no. Have the labor director contact the union presidents, and that city and the labor director can move forward collectively bargaining those issues, and then they can review it. This board can review it. Okay. Thank you. Trustee McDermott, did you have Trustee Evelise Ribeiro had her finger up.
Go ahead. Yes. Thank you, sir. So my question would be just looking, and I believe I'm looking at the right document that's titled Disability Application Policy. If the issue is with the wording, because it seems clear that if the injury happened before the retirement, that they can apply. Is the issue how long after the retirement that they can come back and ask for this? Correct. If they neglected to ask for it before the actual retirement? Correct. So right now it appears that it's open that they could come back 20 years later and ask for it. And we want to be able to put a cap.
8 years later. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure I understood the issue correctly.
If that's it for the discussion, I'll make a motion to table this matter.
Motion's been tabled. Can I get a
second?
Any discussion? Put it to vote to table this matter. I'll do a roll call vote. Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Vereen?
Yes.
Trustee Brooks?
Yes.
Trustee Morrow?
Yes.
Motion passes. Trustee Cannon is also an aye. Motion passes. Move on to the next item. I'm going to jump around to approval of the estimated administrative expenses for fiscal year 2023-24. Who's the lead on this? Is this Leanna, Taylor, or Carolyn?
Not me.
Leanna?
Sorry, I was still muted. Yes, the document has been shared with the trustees that show the estimated administrative expenses that our office and management and budget worked on. And it shows the past 2 years, 2023 estimated, 2024 estimated. There's notes at the notations at the bottom of what percentage was used each year for those estimates.
I just want to make a note from reviewing this. I mean, this may have been discussed and it may have been voted on in the past. I can't recall off the top of my head, but if you look at the administrative fees from Hooker Holcomb over those years, they have tripled, actually more than that. So I don't recall off the top of my head, you know, if there was a specific issue that caused that increase. I know they do valuable work for us, but it's just something I think we should be aware of. I'm not sure when their contract with us ends and when that might be up for a request for proposal, but it went from about, I think, $25,000 to, I don't have the sheet in front of me, but it did go up significantly from there, if I can find the right.
This is Leanna. That was because, if you recall, we now have the online pension portal. The whole retirement system is now through the online pension portal that was created about a year and a half ago, which is, which is why that you see the increase. So that is now a huge offer that we have for the entire city, where any employee can log on at any point in time, find estimates. That is also, you know, what is used now to determine final retirement calculations.
Trustee Ribeiro. Yeah. So with that, so is the increase because we're being charged by the usage amount, like how many times a person usage? I mean, how is it being charged?
I'd have to look back on the bills. I mean, this again was brought up, like I said, probably over 2 years ago. Yeah. So I wasn't prepared for that. But the reason of the increase is because of that online pension portal that the city now offers to all of their employees.
Yeah, if you could, I mean, I do remember the conversation slightly from before. And I mean, that would definitely make sense, but it would just be good to put it in context. So we would, you know, definitely be clear going forward, but I understand.
Carolyn, did your hand up? Attorney Cohn?
No. They have a contract and they have a flat fee that they're charged. We could bring the contract to you guys next month, if that's helpful.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
How does the board wish to proceed on item number D? I'm sorry, letter D.
This is Trustee Ribeiro. I would make a motion to approve the estimated administrative expenses for fiscal year 23-24.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Trustee McDermott with the second. I'll open the discussion. No discussion. We'll put it to vote. I'll do a roll call vote. Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Vereen?
Yes.
Trustee Brooks?
Yes.
Trustee Morrow?
Yes.
Trustee Kennedy, yes. The motion passes unanimously. On to the next matter we just briefly discussed a little bit about, which would be item number E, discussion on the benefit payment portal for pension participants. Trustee Morrow, I believe you had your hand up for a sec. Taylor
King. Not me, I'm driving.
Gotcha. Taylor King.
Hi, this is Taylor. I'm
going to
speak on the item 3E. So Northern Trust had presented to us that they have a participant web passport. This is an option for the retirees to be able to have access to a portal where they update their own changes, like if they wanted to change their tax.
Taylor, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think that I, and by the looks on several of the other trustees or board members here, we're having a little difficulty hearing you. Is there anybody you can clear up that audio?
I'm in the office. I don't know. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, slightly better. Anybody else having difficulties?
Yes. Okay.
This is Leanne. Can you guys hear me a little bit better?
Much better.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you, Taylor. So Northern Trust, it came up, we asked Northern Trust if they had an option for retirees to, you know, go online to see any of their information regarding their pension. They said that they do have a web passport option. This would allow retirees to create an online account through Northern Trust. And there they would be able to make changes such as an address change, a tax withholding change, a direct deposit change, view their tax forms, 1099s. I further asked, you know, what the cost would be. They had said it was an annual cost about 10 cents per participant. They also said there would be a $1 initial fee per participant for the mailing, which includes, I think it was included samples in the attachment of, you know, a mailing they would send out explaining and introducing the website. That $1 per person is a one-time fee. The ongoing fees would be that 10 cents per retiree. And that would be charged annually, I want to say around March, they said. Currently, I think there's around 2,200 PNF participants. You know, obviously that changes. But this, you know, that fee would be paid.
Yeah, this is Patrick Cannon, Chair. We're discussing the pension portal that is in existence now. You're presenting, if I'm just going to clarify this, you're presenting that another company, another vendor, the one that we happen to deal with, our trustee bank, is now offering a web portal that may be similar, but I think when we're dealing with the Hooker and Holcomb.
Oh, it's absolutely not similar. Hooker and Holcomb is the actuary. That is where all the calculation comes to determine someone's retirement figures. The web portal through Northern Trust. Northern Trust is who pays the monthly pension. Right. So that web portal is just for like somebody to log on and see how much their monthly pension was, if they need to make a change in their direct deposit, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So to clarify that, this is not related to the actuarial portal. This is an entirely different portal. Taylor had started this and we couldn't understand. I'm not sure if when you picked it up, if you made that clear, but this is a complete different portal, correct?
Yes, correct. I did mention that. I said this was for retirees receiving pension through Northern Trust. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
This is just for information only. It was brought before the SURF meeting as well. Just information only in case anyone was interested in having this option for retirees.
Thank you. Okay. Any concerns or questions at least, Ribeiro, Trustee Ribeiro?
Yeah. So, Leanna, so when you say information only, so this is not anything that we need to take action on. It'll happen automatically. Is that what you're saying?
No, you are more than welcome to take action on it if you are interested. This was information only because it was new information brought to us that we were bringing to you as an option for pension participants. Of course, if you wanted to move forward with it, there would be, you know, needed to be a vote. If there was further questions that you had, you could let me know and I can ask them and bring it back. If you're not interested at all, then that's totally fine as well.
How is it working now? So if someone wanted to know, they would have to call your office and get the information from you.
Yeah, correct. Who has direct deposit now, they get mailed a paper. Everyone gets mailed a paper stub. A lot of people don't like that. And, you know, they want to see it online themselves, so on and so forth. If they want to do an address change, if they want to do a direct deposit change, if they want to do a tax change, they can either, you know, contact Northern Trust directly or contact our office and submit the proper paperwork. And then we would go in and do it. But we have had a few inquiries from retirees asking if there was a way for them to do this stuff themselves or log on and see this information themselves instead of waiting for things to come in the mail, which is why we, you know, asked them about it. And this was what they presented to us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other trustees with concerns?
Is there a surcharge for this service?
There would be that $1 fee per participant for the initial mailing. And then there would be an annual 10 cents per participant annually, paid once a year. I think it was around March. Those were the only costs and prices that they had mentioned to me for this.
So we're looking at like $2,500 extra a year, possibly, based on the number of participants now.
Yeah, based on the number of participants. Well, it's the $1 is only a one-time thing, and that's just to get out there. Then it's just 10 cents, which I think is actually, you know, it's less than $2,500.
Right. I like it. I mean, we're definitely in the age of, you know, using our computers and internet, and it's just a lot more convenient. And I think it'll take a lot of the administrative burden off of the staff to have to get the information. So this would be something that I would support. And it doesn't seem like it's very costly.
Okay, any other discussion? Any other concerns, trustees? As a trustee, as a firefighter, I would like to also point out, though, my point is that I would like to see more information. I have some concerns on the portal that we have that is different from this portal with the Hooker and Holcomb actuary. There's been some not updated numbers. It's confusing to all the members. I'd have some concerns on this new Northern Trust website, web portal as to who's paying for, is PNF paying for just PNF? Are we paying for anyone else, the whole city coming on board? Those are concerns I'd like to look into. This is up to just discussion today, and we'll move forward next month with more information, I'm sure. I would also like to get going on, I forgot one issue, item number 7, payment of the bills. Can I get a motion?
Get a motion.
Did we pass that?
Yes, we did. We did. I
apologize, didn't check it off. Okay, great. I believe the only thing left is we have a presentation. Is that correct?
That is correct. Nancy is on the call to present for item 3C.
Why don't you lead us in?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. I'm Nancy Kalesa. I'm a partner with Blake Marfonte and all. We were retained by your fund to monitor your portfolio for securities litigation, basically to flag cases in which your fund may be involved. We also, in the event that a case settles, we make a claim for you and, you know, attempt to recover your losses. So I just want to report briefly on the first half of 2022. There are 8 newly filed cases in which your fund is involved. And none of these cases are cases in which you are taking an active role. They're basically cases that we're monitoring for you. We'll let you know when a settlement is reached. The losses in these cases, the lowest is a little over $2,000, and the highest is a little over $400,000. There are 4 cases in which your loss is a little over $100,000 and up. I just wanted to briefly talk to you about those cases. Again, these are all cases that we're watching for you. When a settlement is reached, we'll make a claim. And some of these, just for your reference, some of these cases have larger losses than normal. We're seeing this with all of our clients because they're cases that involved very large stock drops. A case in point is Meta, formerly known as Facebook. That is a case in which this is the largest loss, and it was, depending on FIFO, LIFO, it's either $404,000 or $419,000. Sorry, someone saying something?
No, I apologize.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. So basically, in this case, there was a drop of almost $100 per share. And this is a case in which, to make you feel a little bit better, the fund that had the largest loss, or the group, it was 2 funds, lost $19 million. So the $404,000, although bad, could be much worse. And just quickly to tell you, that's a case in which Meta or Facebook earned most of its revenue by selling ads. And basically, Apple changed its privacy settings. So due to that, Meta was no longer able to track their users' activities and sell ads, generating ad revenue. So basically, this resulted in a decline of over 26% of the stock price. And erased nearly $2 billion in shareholder value. So that's the largest loss you have of the cases. We're definitely watching that one closely for you. The next largest is $276,000 in losses. That case is called Dentsply Sirona. We actually moved for appointment with another client of ours in that case as lead plaintiff. That client lost approximately $2.6 million. So just to put that in perspective, pretty large losses. This is actually a very good case that we'll keep track of for you. Dentsply is the world's largest manufacturer of dental products and supply. And basically, this case is one that we think will do very well, whether we get control of it, or hopefully we get control of it. But the facts are very good. Basically, you have the executives engaging in channel stuffing, where they basically were, stuffing their channels with products that they knew would not sell during the COVID pandemic. And to make it even worse, there was a scheme where the officers were getting paid, based on this scheme to stuff the channels. So at the end of the day, the CEO resigned, the CFO was fired. There was an audit committee, internal investigation that was launched, looking at the incentives to sell these products. So there's a lot of, facts there that look very bad for the company. So that's a good case. Amazon is one other. The loss was $195,000 approximately. The fund that had the largest losses there had losses of $62 million. So again, much larger. And basically that case had to do with how Amazon was disclosing its use of third-party seller data. And so the SEC launched an investigation there. And, you know, in that case, it looks like because of the failure to disclose, their revenues were overly optimistic. One other case that I wanted to flag for you is Netflix. The fund had a loss of $107,000. And that's a case you may have all heard about. Basically, case involved cracks in Netflix growth and business model. They're facing increased competition. They had accelerated subscribership during the pandemic, but basically they made false statements about their outlook and their competitive position. In truth, they were really starting to lose subscribers for the first time in memory. So eventually they announced that they lost over 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of 2022, due in large part to increased competition. So that wiped out about a little over $100 per share. So that's the reason for the very drastic drop. The next four are smaller, so I'll just tell you what the losses are. And if anyone has questions about the cases, I can tell you about them. CareDx, you lost $66,000 approximately. Yext is another case. That was an earnings miss due to Omicron disruptions. You lost about $20,000. Waste Management was a case involving a merger between Waste Management and Advanced Disposal. There's a regulatory review of that. That's a case where he lost approximately $15,000. And Unilever, much smaller loss, a little over $2,000. Basically, that's a case where Ben & Jerry's, a subsidiary, stopped doing business in areas of Israel that it considered to be occupied Palestinian territory. They passed a resolution to stop doing business there, and they didn't tell anyone until they actually did it. So when this was discovered, the stock price dropped pretty drastically. So that's it for new cases. Just quickly, there are three cases. Again, I mentioned that when one of these cases settles, we watch them for you. We file claim forms on your behalf. We recover whatever it is that you can under the plan of allocation of the settlement and send you checks. There were three such recoveries in the first half of 2022. The first one was Iconics. You recovered $838. The second one was Credit Suisse. You recovered $4,082. And the third one was Signet. You recovered $2,352. Finally, we file claims for you. These are claims that we've filed, yet the funds have not yet been allocated. We filed a claim for you in OSI Systems. You are expected to recover about $400. And finally, Teva, which I'll just talk briefly about. We filed a claim for you and you're expected to recover $4,900. And just so you know, Teva was a case that my firm was lead counsel in. It resulted in a $420 million settlement. It's a case that involved Teva, the largest generic manufacturer of drugs in the world. Basically, they were engaging in anti-competitive practices to keep generic makers out of certain markets. There was an investigation of like 38 attorneys general, DOJ investigation. Ultimately, we settled this case on the eve of summary judgment, second largest recovery ever in the District of Connecticut after Xerox. So anyway, that was our case, and we expect to get you back about almost $5,000 on that one. So that's basically a recap of what's out there, cases that are pending, claims that were made, and settlement recoveries that you received. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Any questions for Nancy from the board? For those new members that are on the board, Nancy is a lawyer that looks at the funds that were invested in and any class action lawsuits. There's no cost to this pension fund. She does a great job. Nancy, we appreciate all the work you do in your firm, and thank you. If there's no questions, Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
I believe we've accomplished all the items other than item number 10. I'll entertain a motion.
Pat, just one last thing I'd like to request before we
apologize. Go ahead. Trustee McDermott, go ahead.
I just want to see, because it came up, if we could add it to the agenda for next month, the Hooker and Holcomb portal. I've been receiving some negative feedback from some frustrated union members about that it's nowhere near as easy to access as was promised. So I don't want to open up that that Pandora's box right now in this meeting, but if we can put it on the agenda for next one, I would greatly appreciate that.
I'll back you up on those claims. I've had many, many complaints. It's not up to date. It's not easy to access. You still have to go through the pension office and rely on them setting you up with information to get on. I don't believe for the price that we're paying that it was worth it. I do recall this was many years ago that we discussed bringing it on. It was under the HARP administration, and it's something that I would like to see on the agenda and discussed also. Leanna, would you be able to handle that, put that on the agenda for next month for discussion?
Yes, we can. I mean, I do have answers for that, but I can put that on your agenda for next month.
Thank you. With that,
Mr. Chair, can I ask that any associated information or documents be provided with the information for next month, not just listed on the agenda? For us new trustees, you're going to have to kind of read and get caught up to date on it.
Yes, I believe that would be helpful. Leanna, could you provide the whole board with any information that you can before the meeting?
Yes, we always email all the documents that are associated with all the agenda items, usually around Tuesday before the meeting, because we have to wait to make sure that everything is finalized and collect all the appropriate documents.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with that, any other discussion? Item number 10, motion to adjourn. Any motion?
So moved. Trustee Rivera.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Trustee Vereen. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Negative. Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.